Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast. Again, let's talk about the opioid addiction problem in America, and in Canada, for that matter. The use of painkillers. You know, it's out of control. And it's at a point now where we are in a national crisis. Every state of the union is facing the problem of drug addiction, and what states are often doing now is adding more drugs and more addiction by voting in the use of marijuana medically and recreationally, which means anybody at any time and anywhere. So we are a drug culture, to be sure. We are a drug based group of people who solve problems the easy way. That is by taking another pill, by taking another drug. And you know, it's a progressive thing. Drug addiction is progressive, whether you start with alcohol or you start with marijuana or whatever. It starts and it grows and it continues to grow and it becomes part of a national crisis and going on up into all kinds of legal as well as illegal drugs. Now, the opioid addiction problem falls within the legal drug addiction classification. These are painkillers. You can buy them on the open market. You can just go to the drugstore. I know one particular person who was taking ibuprofen, 18 of those a day to control pain. Started with 4, started with 6. Went on up to 10, up to 12, and up to 18 very quickly until something was done. Physical therapy was then instituted, 10 sessions of physical therapy, and over 5 years not another drop of pain was experienced. In other words, physical therapy was the answer, not the use of a painkiller. Now here's the thing you have to kind of remember from that illustration. Opioids or painkillers of any kind do not cure a thing. All they do is subside a little bit of the neurological pathways that lead to pain or carry pain throughout the body and reduce the pain for you a little bit by taking them. That's all it does. It doesn't cure. When the medication is phased out or it runs out in its course of time over the course of 4 to 6 hours, then the pain comes back, and the vicious cycle goes on. Another pill, 4 to 6 hours later, another pill, 4 to 6 hours later, another pill, and so on. And the person then lives by taking pills. That's the pattern. That's the way that people live with chronic pain. Just they live on the pills they take, and begin to break down their body. The stomach breaks down with the use of all those pills. It plays roughshod on the stomach and throughout the body. So it's certainly not the way to live your life. But many people live their life dependent upon painkillers. But you know, at the same time, as many people live their life depending on them, many people die by them. In 2016, in America, this is America now, 42,000 people died from the overdose of an opioid. That's just 2016. It's higher in 2017, by the way. You go up north, up to Canada. It's a smaller country, but the ratios are fairly close in terms of size. In 2016, it was about 3,000 people died as a result of opioid overdose. In 2017, about 3,000 people died just in the first 9 months. So you can see the increase that's taking place in the use of an opioid. Now, you know, painkillers are very many. There are all kinds of them on the market. Very low level painkillers. Very low level. You can buy them off the market in any drugstore. Then you go all the way on up to fentanyl, one of the high drugs used or high power drugs used for pain management. You go up to methadone. I mean, you're up at high levels of opioid drug use just for the purpose of trying to reduce a little bit of pain, but it never cures it. It never removes it. It never takes it away. It just minimizes it for a brief period of time. And when you take something and you experience a little relief of pain, what are you going to do when the pain develops again? You're going to take that same thing. And when that pain goes away, you're going to feel good. You're going to say, I'm glad I did that. And then all of a sudden, the pain starts to come back again. And what are you going to do? You're going to take another one of those pills because it helped in the past. It doesn't cure anything, but it just removed or reduced the amount of pain for a period of time. Most opioids work for about 4 to 6 hours in length. And after that, they start to wear off. And you either live with pain, you live with more pain, or you take another pill. And the problem with addiction is we take another pill. And where's all these pills coming from? How do people get these pills? Well, on the black market, they're coming from China. So there's a large boatload of opioids that come in, you know, from China. And then they filter into the marketplace of America through the black market. Now, that's where they come from. But legitimately, they come from your physician. Legitimately, they come from every doctor's office across the country. Every doctor has the power to prescribe painkillers. And doctors prescribe painkillers. Doctors prescribe many painkillers. Doctors prescribe painkillers. They don't know what to do other than to give them another pain pill. And they don't know what to do when their patient becomes addicted. So a doctor creates his own problems of a patient who is now addicted to something, and he doesn't know how to unwind it. He doesn't know how to get that patient out of the addiction. So the other night, I went to a dinner. There was about 50 physicians present at the dinner. And in the course of the evening, we had a topic to discuss, and that was pain management. And one of the doctors presented a plan of how what he does in the area of pain management. He spoke about the spinal cord stimulator. It's a little wire that's placed on the spinal cord and produces an electric charge to that area of the body, to that area of the backbone. And it's placed in an area that originates the pain that a person experiences. And because of that electrical charge, that pain now becomes reduced, at least by 50% and perhaps more. No medication. It's an electrical stimulator. So you might want to look at that if you have a problem, okay? But here's the issue that happened. In the course of the evening, we had discussion, and I raised a question to the doctors. I said, why do you people give patients opioids when you know that it doesn't cure anything? It won't help them get out of pain. All it will do is help them maintain a level of living with pain dependency on a medication. And one of the doctors then responded to my question. He says, well, if we didn't give the opioids, patients wouldn't come. In other words, it's like candy. They want to come for it. You go where you're going to get some pain relief. Not a cure. You know, not a resolution. Not a solution. But just a reduction of pain. And then you become dependent on what the doctor gives you. And then you come back. And then you come back again. And you come back again. And now the doctor has a patient that comes back for more pain medication, and he has a big business. It's an economic business dealing that many physicians have in this area of opioid management. Okay? Unfortunately, that's the way it is. Now, going back to Canada, Canada has just made a decision to put forward about a $250 million package to educate the population on opioid addiction and alternatives to the addiction, and alternatives to the choice or to the use of opioids. And some of that money is to be used for the treatment of people who are addicted. So it's for education purposes and for treatment, you know, purposes. So I was thinking about it that way, and here we are in the United States. It's a state problem, not a federal problem. It's a state problem. So if anybody's going to deal with the opioid addiction, it should be at the state level, not the federal level. Number two, a sum of money should be put into a trust fund. And every doctor, not just clinics, not just addiction clinics, but every doctor that has a program to work with the addicted individuals, opioid addicted individuals, can tap that source for funding to pay for the treatment of those people. In other words, if a doctor treats somebody, every appointment he bills the state, and the state pays on an appointment basis. And the doctor has to show documentation that the patient came and that progress is being made over the course of 10 sessions, that there's progress made. And if there is progress made, then another 10 sessions are granted. And if progress is made, another 10 sessions are granted. But if no patient progress is shown, can be shown, then there's no billing, there's no payment. You have to show progress over the course of every 10 sessions. So you have a trust fund. Doctor treats, comes up with a treatment protocol, comes up with a treatment plan, makes that available to his community. People come, people benefit from that, and the doctor has a source of income by billing the state in that particular fund for the services rendered for those patients. And then at the end of a period of time, such as 5 years, the state looks at what programs worked and what programs did not work. What doctors seemed to have a positive result, which doctors did not have a positive result. What were some of the factors that contributed to a patient succeeding and achieving and doing well? What are the factors that led to patients not achieving and doing well? After 5 years, we look at that. And the patients that were successful form a task force to help the state develop a program for the future. The doctors that were successful form a task force to help the state develop a plan, you know, for the future. So we enter into a 5-year experimental program at every state where doctors can treat and be paid for, and then their results are looked at. And the results then are tallied, and then we develop a program for the future based on the successes of what was done. Doctors are not medical doctors, necessarily. They could be. But they're chiropractors. They're physical therapists. They're psychologists. They're addiction specialists. Okay? These are the kind of people that need to get in there and treat the opioid addicted person and make themselves known in the community for having available time to treat people with opioid addiction or with pain and to help them in their pain management. The physicians that are on a panel like that would be pain management specialists, and there are many of them. Every community has them. They can submit their plan, but they have to submit the results as well. And the state would then have to be required to always answer the questions and always get back to the doctor and pay their bills within the course of 40 days. The problem with the state is that you write a question or you submit a bill and you don't get paid for maybe a year or 6 months. The state would be required to respond to every doctor and every program within 40 days. And we might have a program here. We might have a way to deal with this opioid addiction, pain management at the state level. So what we do, it's hard to know. What we're doing now is not working. What we're doing now is a failure. We send people to AA. Well, that's not the place to go. We send people to NA, Narcotics Anonymous. That's not necessarily the place to go. We don't have an opioid addiction AA meeting. We need them. We need groups in the offices of therapists. You know, we need groups in the office of doctors. We need groups in the office of physical therapists. So they can do this in a group format as well. Maybe even a local gymnasium could come up with a program for opioid addiction individuals and put them through a series of exercise programs. There's gyms all over. And if they submit a plan, they can develop a plan, they can be happy part of the action as well. We need to open the door for people who are creative and have ideas and have ways of dealing with this issue. And then look at it from the point of view of, is it successful over the course of time? So there you are. We have too many deaths, and the number is increasing. We're going to have more deaths in the future just because people are taking pills, not to manage their pain, but just to reduce their pain for 4 to 6 hours. That's all they're doing. So let's work together. Let's be creative. Let's think wisely. And if you know a politician, if you know somebody in the state government, if you know somebody that is concerned about the opioid addiction, you know a physician, you know a therapist, let them know about this podcast. Maybe they can come up with some ideas and we can generate some thought, you know, regarding it. Anyway, nice to have you with me, and bye for now.